Today's guests are two detectives over the Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force for Utah Sheriff's Department. We will be getting some great tips and advice on how to protect your kids. Be sure to stick around. You won't want to miss this episode.
WAM Safety. The WAM Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Thurber.
I am honored to have Detective Stewart and Detective Roche with me today. They are over the special unit for the Utah Sheriff's Department. They are the experts over crimes against children and hand-on offenses against children. We are so honored to have you guys with us today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Excited to be here.
Yes. No problem. This will be great. I think this is going to be so helpful to all of us who are parents and grandparents to protect our kids and grandkids. I think there's a lot of misconception nowadays. We think about our kids like walking down the street and getting taken by somebody pulling up in a vehicle and snatching them away, right?
Yeah.
And I know that truly does happen a lot, but the majority of that is really online communication with these types of individuals who are taking our kids.
Yeah, usually in today's world, it's definitely more online because everybody's got access to the internet. Even kids as young as, we've seen kids as young as 7 have access to the internet and completely unrestricted. So by doing that, giving them that access, you're giving them access to everybody in the world. And people know that. The predators that are out there know that. And they know that the kids that young have that stuff and that technology. So they target them and they look for them. That's much easier than just driving around looking for someone to take.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. An easier target, right?
Yep.
Yes. So from your guys' expertise, what is the best things that we can do to help protect our kids?
A majority of it would just be monitoring what they're doing. If you don't know what your kids are doing, they can just be out doing whatever they want. I use the example all the time in my presentations, you wouldn't let somebody come to your house at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, if they showed up at your front door and they go, hey, can I borrow your kid for like an hour or two? And I promise I'll bring them back. They'll be safe. But I want to just borrow them for a couple hours. You wouldn't let your kid go with that person.
My gosh.
It's like a complete stranger, right? So
right.
Why would you give them the ability to be on the internet, not monitor what they're doing and just let them roam free? So it's a matter of monitoring what they're doing and keeping an eye on their activity, because just that little bit of effort can prevent a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
Because kids will just go rogue a lot of the times, and their common sense isn't fully developed. They don't have an understanding of danger, and they just think they're talking to someone fun on the internet, and they'll just continue to do it, and they'll become friends with them, and it'll just progress. But if there's an adult in there that intercepts that kind of stuff, you can say, oh no, this is not right, and stop it.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. And I know there's a lot of technology out there to support and help us with that. So I know there's like different apps that they can use to help protect like their kids. What do you guys recommend on like apps that they can use to help monitor?
Well, some of them have like built-in software for the kids, being able to monitor screen time, being able to access applications. One that I'm familiar with, I know the Apple, Apple phones, they have it where that you can completely restrict like the app store on the phone, so the kids can't go in and download these apps that are used to communicate with them in that way. And then there's different softwares, actually companies that make phones that can do that.
Yeah, like Gab Wireless is a Utah-based company.
I love them.
That is the one I always recommend to parents, because that one, they give you a phone that's already locked down. You can't really do much with that. Yeah, there's ways around it. You can install an emulator onto it and get the app store, but that takes computers, that takes the knowledge of doing that. They give you something to use. So you pay the price, you pay a monthly fee, you're in no contract, and you cancel anytime. And it's a great tool for parents that want their kids to have a smartphone, because that's the thing. Kids will get bullied at school. They won't get along. Their friends will push them away. If they don't have smartphones, they won't fit in. And that's kind of what they want to do. When I was in school, I wanted to fit in, right? And so fitting in now in today's world is having smartphones, doing all the stuff online, having social media and all that stuff. So that's why kids want to do it so bad.
Exactly. Yeah. And I agree with you guys. I think the Gap Phone is amazing. Yeah. Matter of fact, if a parent wants to do that, we have partnered with them. Okay. And we can give them a discount if they put in WAM, W-A-M, and they can get a discount. And nice. Also give them some free accessories and a whole bunch of cool things. But they're amazing because, like you said, then they have no access to internet. And that means those predators who can talk to them have no access to them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is super important.
Right. And I mean, they're not, the kid's not 100% free and clear of talking to anybody. I mean, you can still text on that phone.
Right.
But from what I've learned talking to a lot of teenagers is that texting isn't even a thing anymore. You don't text. It's all through Snapchat, through all that stuff. And, mm-hmm. and you can even turn off picture messaging. So
you
limit the ability of having picture messaging. So that's always
fantastic.
Always a good
thing. Yeah, that's super great.
Yeah.
And so like on those phones, can they get those types of apps, Snapchat and or any of those other ones, TikTok or any of those? Are those accessible on there or not?
On the Gap phone, no.
Okay.
Unless there is a way around it. And I learned this from a 16-year-old that I talked to. There is a way to install an Android emulator onto it. You have to have a computer and you have to have the means of doing it. And you have to have the knowledge of doing it, being able to basically hack the phone. There is a way to do that. And I've even reached out to Gab before and asked them about it. Yeah, it's a computer. It can happen. It's not completely locked.
Right.
They just install what they install onto it and give it to you. But if a kid knows his way around, they'll be able to install an app store and all that stuff to get that so they can download those apps. Because it is a smartphone that they give you.
Okay.
It's just a very restricted smartphone with the software that's on it.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
So there's always ways around.
Right.
It's never 100% right. safe.
Exactly. But that's good to know for all of us as parents and grandparents that we can protect and double check, you know what I mean, what's going on with our kids' phones and stuff like that. So I think that's excellent information.
And that goes back to monitoring. The education and monitoring. You monitor, you educate your kids. That's going to prevent a lot of stuff.
Definitely.
Because you're not watching what your kids are doing on their phone all the time. It's impossible to do that. You're not with them constantly. And they're going to hide things. They're going to put things places. But if you're consistent and you teach them what's safe and what's not, they can make that choice for themselves on whether or not they're going to talk to somebody they shouldn't be talking to. And if you intercept those conversations, you'll be able to stop it before it gets to a point where it's now ruining or affecting their lives in a negative way.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know you guys work very closely on this. What are some of the crazy stories that you guys have had to deal with? And what have you learned from them so we can help teach parents about that?
You would tell your story having that good case. Can't use a lot of detail.
Yeah.
I can't give a lot of detail if that's not been adjudicated. But.
Yeah. So this is a case we're still waiting to go to trial for potentially. But
okay.
I guess kind of the quick little rundown of it is this person thought he was communicating with a 13-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
It was me. And, you know, during the conversation, I think we were both sitting in a training for this type of stuff. It was a chat training and we're trying different things. And, you know, he starts talking to me. I express my age. He tells me he's 30 years old or however old it was, right? 35. You know, I say, hey, I don't know if I should talk to you. Like, you're kind of too old for me. He's like, oh, well, we can just be friends, which is a huge red flag. Like, he knows I'm 13. He told me he's 35. Why does he want to be friends with a 13-year-old girl?
Right.
You know, I'm, okay, cool. Like, we continue chatting. And I think within a maximum of 8 hours during that training, this person's trying to get me to send photos of myself, all this kind of stuff, just from being a buddy, being my friend, you know?
Wow.
And then I think we scooped him up
a couple.
As soon as we're done with the training,
we went and arrested him. Yeah.
His house in front of his wife.
Yeah.
Holy cow. See, that's the thing is I don't think all of us parents realize that happens. And look how fast that happened. Like you said, during that day while you're doing training, I mean, it's a family person, obviously, right? And he's 35 and he knows that he's talking to a young person. And so they know that's not okay.
Yeah.
It's illegal. And they continue to do it. And yet then you had to go pick him up in front of his wife and arrest him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this guy, he wasn't one of our presentations. I call these people basement dwellers, right? Like, you're stereotypical when you think of the people that do these crimes. You picture a certain type of person. And he wasn't that at all. Like, the exact opposite. You would not expect a person that looked like this feel the need that he has to pick up a 13-year-old girl because they're vulnerable. He didn't look like your stereotypical suspect that we get.
Exactly. And that's actually why I use like my little mascot creepy dog, because everybody thinks like it's this like really creepy person that's actually doing this sort of thing. And it's like that everyday normal, their neighbor, their friend, their person at church, you know, their coach, their dance person, whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't realize it can be anybody.
It really can be. It varies from people who are married with kids, who have a great career, all the way down to that stereotypical, never leaves the house, is stuck in the room all day, on their electronics all day, never comes out. We've had it range from varying between those two things and everything in the middle. So it really doesn't matter the type of person.
Exactly. So you can't spot them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that easy. And so that's why, like you said, I think the most important thing is like educating our kids on it and then educating the parents and grandparents.
Correct.
So that they know, like, hey, there's these different phones available or apps available. Because a lot of us, we're not very tech savvy.
Right.
And our kids are amazing. They're super high tech and they know how to manipulate and do stuff like that. And so that's where I think this is going to be so powerful to help so many parents and grandparents out there.
And that's why I kind of put together the parent presentation, because a lot of the cases that I worked, the parents would come in and they'd have no idea what they were doing on their kid's phone. They didn't even know what Instagram was. They don't even know what Snapchat is. A lot of the fault falls onto the parents with that because of just not going out and learning about that after giving their kids a smartphone.
Right.
But when I talk to those parents, it's too late. Unfortunately, when I talk to a parent, there's usually a case involved and something's already happened what we're trying to investigate. So I've tried to pull that away and kind of make it a prevention thing and an education thing. So then that parents can now go out and look at these things in their kids' phones and see it before it gets to a point where it's a point of no return kind of thing. A lot of the parents in my presentations will take their kids' phones then and there, or go home and take them and look through them and call me the next day and ask me all these questions about it. And it's great. That's what I want to happen, because I'd rather stop this from happening than to deal with it after it's happened.
Definitely.
So
on that same note, what can we do right now to help prevent this from happening so we can educate all of our parents out there right now on what to look for? So I'm going to go home. I'm going to get my kid's phone. What am I going to start looking for? What do you guys recommend?
The main thing is what kind of apps they have.
Okay.
If there's a lot of apps like Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, I've told isn't used anymore by kids, but I still get cases from it. Kick, Discord, all these apps that you can communicate with people through.
I love that. Tell us, what is Kick? Because like I haven't heard of that one before.
Kick is it's just a chatting app. You can go into chat rooms, you can meet people in chat rooms, and you can pull them away from chat rooms and talk one-on-one with each other. Or you can just add each other through a username and you can talk to each other through there. A lot of people think it's because it's an app, it's encrypted, you know, it's all safe and private. In reality, it's not. We get a majority of our cyber tips are from Kick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because okay. Kick does a lot of work within their own application to prevent and catch these kind of things happening. So we get a lot of cyber tips from Kick. It's a big thing.
Wow. See, that's a new one I think a lot of us parents haven't heard about.
Yeah.
So this is so great to know. And then you mentioned the other app.
Discord.
Yes. What's that?
Well, I've had a lot of cases in the last couple weeks with Discord. In fact, a couple months, even hands-on offenses have been involving Discord. You install it, you create what you call a server, which is what you have, and then you invite people to that server, and you can have a chat room where it's a group chat room, or you can have a private chat room, or you can talk through voice and video. It's a great tool. It was developed for gamers to be able to talk to each other and interact with each other through that server, because it's a lot cleaner audio to talk to each other in game. It's just a lot better means of communication. But of course, you know, kids get a hold of it and they start using it, and then the people on the internet that are looking for kids to interact with go into there and find them, and then they start talking to them. And it's just another thing of, oh, this is safe. You know, no one's going to find out I'm talking to this kid because it's within an app. There's no way to track it. I can make a fake profile and just talk to a kid. And so, like I said, a lot of social media apps are great. Like, they're a great resource, a great tool, great ways to stay in contact with your friends and your family. But with everything, there's bad things about them that people exploit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like this. This is huge, right? What else can we do then to protect? So go in, get your kid's phone, look at the apps. I mean, honestly, like, they shouldn't really have any of these apps, right? I mean, if you want to really protect them, take them off, do you think?
That's something that I tell parents all the time. Take your kid's smartphones away. until they're, and I would say at least 16 when they're able to, when they're mature enough to drive and make choices. They're out to be out in society and be able to be responsible enough to drive around a car.
Right.
They should be responsible enough to be able to have a phone. When you're giving your kid a phone at 8 years old, sure, they're going to play games on it at first. They're going to use it to play these silly little games that you can download. But they're going to eventually start falling into, you know, more and more things and becoming more and more comfortable on the internet and more comfortable with what they're sending.
Right.
Meet people who they trust, whom they don't even know really, truly, honestly, what they even look like. Because they can send a whatever picture they want to them.
Right. You know,
and say whoever they want to be.
Exactly.
There's a lot of guys pretending to be kids their age on the internet that even make fake accounts that are geared like, I'm a 12-year-old girl, but I'm actually a 40-year-old man living in a house with a wife and kids. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to pose as a girl because these girls will talk to me.
Right.
And then they'll
build
gain
that relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's, like you said, they build that trust. And then all of a sudden, that's how they manipulate and get into their world. Yeah. And that's how this whole thing starts, is now they're their friend.
Yep.
And then they start to be like, oh, why don't you meet me here? Or you guys maybe can share with us like how that like happens. How do they entice them? Because they are now pretending to be this 13, 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And what are they doing to like get them?
So a lot of this, and we've seen this, where, you know, these accounts that we create, you know, with a persona, like we don't want to just create a brand new account with no friends on it, right? Because that's just like when you get a Facebook friend request as an adult. If you have no mutual friends, it's weird. Mm-hmm. Like it's very odd. Or if there are no friends, no profile pictures, anything like that. So we'll take the time to build accounts, right, as this persona. I've had random people, because there's, you know, especially in Snapchat, there's a feature where you can just literally just add people just to show like, hey, I have friends, right?
Oh, wow.
And I have random people adding me. I add them. And before I know it, like I have a list of like probably 30 people from Texas for whatever reason.
It's always Texas. Yeah. I don't know why.
That's so funny.
But their, you know, their Snapchat location, like their location is on. I can literally zoom into Texas right now if I had my, you know, my undercover phone, and I could be like, oh, here's my friend Becky. And I can see Becky's at school. Oh, and here's the name of her school. Oh, Becky's at home. She lives here. So I can, you know, I can develop a relationship off of that. And, you know, I set in quotations, like common interest, because I see, oh, Becky's at the soccer field today.
Right.
So I can say, hey, Becky, like, I'm a 12-year-old girl too. Like, I play soccer.
Yeah. That, you know, that blows my mind. And I think that is super important for parents to know, because they don't realize, like on Snapchat, that their kid is being tracked everywhere. What an awesome opportunity for a predator to go and snatch that kid, right? Or like know everything about them.
Right. And Snapchat is one of the worst apps I think a kid could have, because it provides the user with a My Eyes Only folder, which is encrypted.
Right.
The only way to get into that is with a 4-digit passcode. And every parent I think I've come across, oh, I wouldn't say every, 99% of the parents I've come across where I've told them about that feature, they knew nothing about it. And they'll pull up the app. I'll show them where it's at in their kid's phone. They'll be like, oh my gosh. And there'll be a 4-digit passcode. And they'll go ask their kid, and the kid will always say, well, I don't, there's nothing in there. I forgot the code. You have to set it up with a code. It doesn't come factory on the app. So you have to have a special code. So a lot of kids will just be like, I don't know what it is. And then the parents will give it up at that. But I always tell them, no, that they know what it is.
Yep.
You can keep asking them, and then they'll go into it and they'll find a plethora of photos that their kid either took of themselves or of other people. It always happens that way.
So. Wow. Is there a spot where they're actually hiding these photos?
Yeah, just in that folder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, like, I think most parents don't know. What about some of the things that we need to be aware of on, like, TikTok for our kids? Because I know that's a big one.
Yeah, it's just a matter of being, again, it goes back to being safe and who you're interacting with on those apps. Because if you're interacting with your friends, great. It's fun. It's a fun app to look at. It's funny. You can share stuff with each other. When you start coming across people who you don't know and you start interacting with them, that's when it turns bad. I mean, the youngest I think we've had on TikTok, there was an 11-year-old that met up with an adult at a park by her house, ended up being her neighbor. She didn't know. They met up. Well, they did what they wanted to do, as far as I think he sexually assaulted her and all this stuff at the park. This was years ago. I can't remember when it was, but that was on TikTok when TikTok started blowing up, and it was because she was just talking to people who she didn't know and was like, oh, hey, I live in the same city as you. And then he was like, well, let's meet up at a park, you know, type of thing. So
yeah, leaving that account public, you know, where any random person can just scrolling through, come across your profile. And these kids that post videos, multiple videos a day sometimes, without realizing it, like you're giving a lot of information about yourself in some of these posts, you know, where you live, like you might be wearing your school soccer uniform or school basketball uniform. And oh, okay, cool. Like I'm going to make a mental note of that. I know that they go to this school. I know that they're close to me.
I've identified kids who are victims, who I believe are victims based off of information I've received, just by looking at their social media. We've done it. We've gone on their Instagram. We find out they're on the cheer team. We find out what school it is.
From Georgia, right?
Yeah, from Georgia. We find out what school it is. We then call the school and we can get the information from the school. And then we are talking to their parents on the phone within minutes of looking at their social media for the first time.
That's so crazy.
Because everything's unlocked.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we do it obviously for a good reason. But there's people out there that are doing it for the exact opposite.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we want to educate and let parents know about. This is so serious and so scary.
Yeah.
And this is how these predators are taking advantage of our children. Yes, because I think people forget. And so we thought, let's please help all of our parents be aware of what to do.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
These are some really important tips. And we so appreciate you guys, like, helping. Any additional information that you guys wanted to share with us?
Well, like I said at the beginning, it goes right by itself full circle. Watch what your kids are doing on their phones. Pay attention to what they're doing. Pay attention to what apps they're using, who they're talking to, because the internet is not a safe place. It's a cool place. There's a lot of cool things in there, but it is not a safe place. We do our presentations for parents, educate parents. It's like a two-hour presentation we do. We pull up the apps. We use the apps. We show how easy it is. Go into chat rooms and do all that kind
of
stuff.
So. I love that. And if people want to get a hold of us to do presentations, they definitely can reach out to whamsafety.com and we can schedule appointments to go and actually do those presentations to help teach parents.
For sure. Yep. We're willing to do it whenever we can.
I love that. And it's like the internet is powerful. Like you said, it's a great tool, but it can be very dangerous. Yep. And it's like allowing your 10 or 11-year-old kid to have the keys to your car.
Yep.
They now have access to everything. And so that's where we need to limit that and protect them. And this is such a great way to do that, is monitor their phones, look at gap phones or other opportunities out there. Mm-hmm,
for sure.
And pay attention and get involved with your kids.
That's right. Be involved.
Yeah. I love it. You guys have been amazing. Thank you so much
for coming. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Thanks again. Okay. All right. Alrighty. Take care. See ya. Bye.
WAM Safety. The WAM Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Ferber.
WAM. WAMSafety.com. WAM.